about your day to remarks that you'd be settled to be paid on a therapy is good, but
Just keeping the mic on to you, yeah?
Is this Mr. Zaltzman still with you?
Sorry?
Is that Mr. Zaltzman still?
No, yes, it's Andler.
Oh, Mr. Zaltzman is here?
No, not here at the moment.
He bought me. Tell me when you want me to start.
You can start now.
Okay. First of all, a shkoyach to people who organise the Torah Way. It's a davar gadol, and people are also b'tochi tzibur b'yamuna. And I only know Mr. Zaltzman of the Cheva, but whoever is involved, keep up the good work. That's all I can say. It's very interesting that in this week's, we had the parsha yesterday of Bilam. Bilam wanted to give klolos to the Yin. Bilam wanted to give klolos. And the Baruch Shalom was Mahapeich, one of the klolos to a bracha. That's Matova Lecha Yaakov Mishneh Secha Yisrael Botim Knisios and Botim Midrashim. And I heard from Ableib Gurevitz once. Ableib said, how do Chazal know that was a bracha? Because that's the one thing you can't do without. Chasam Sofer says that Botim Knisios and Botim Midrashim, people coming together for Tfilah B'Tzibur is only Midrabonon, but it's held Yidden together in hundreds of years of Golos. That's always Chasam Sofer. And I heard yesterday an interesting pshat. But what about all the other klolos which were not in this hapech lebrocha? What happened to them? Only one came to be a brocha. And the answer is very simple: that through boti knisias and boti midrashim, Yidden themselves have got the koyach to be mahapech the klolos to brocha. That's the koyach of boti knisias and boti midrashim. And that's what I would say to you here, Baruch Hashem. You come here for Tfilah B'Tzibur, for the Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. This is Boti Knesset and Boti Midrashim. In Mamet, you're Mekayim, the Nisrius of Yisrael. So I give you a Birchus Hedyot. At least I come from a place which is not for Hedyotas, from Yerushalayim. You should carry on Gesundheit, and it should get bigger and bigger, the Torah way, right? There was a fellow in Velozin Yeshiva, at the time of Chaim Velozina, do you know the expression, a heavy guy? Is one of those people who go around all day shivering and talking about global warming. You get these chevra. As you saw, they've got a saying for it. Some people are makabel tayag mitzvahs, and some tayag bayot. They've got, everything's difficult. And he came to Chaim Velozina. And he wanted to say he's leaving the yeshiva. Reb Chaim said, "But I've had shnei tamidim kilchosom." Bacha didn't know what he's talking about. Shnei tamidim kilchosom. We haven't got a base of Migdash yet. So Chaim explained. Reb Chaim begins Shavisi Hashem the Negdi Tomid. That's the first Tomid. Yerushamayim ends with Hilchos Purim Tov Lev Mishne Tomid. You've got to be besimcha. You've got to have shnei samidim gil chosom. You need both. You need to be besimcha. You've got to be serious about besimcha. I'll give you an example. You know, among the gedoli Yisrael, mamash the gedoli olam, they used to make jokes with each other. It was a cover up for the pnimius, but it was also an inyan of injecting simcha into their avoda. You know, the Rav Aaron Kotler once had to go and see the Beis Yisrael. And he had a younger bocha, a literature bocha, who was the Mashamish of Aaron, and he said, "Can I come along? I'd like to have a bocha from the Beis Yisrael." So Rav Aaron said, "Okay." And they went in together to the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael gave this young man an apple. He said, "Oh, I'm not hungry." So the Beis Yisrael said, "If it came on his line can chosid, he'll never be a chosid." Rav Aaron said, "You've got your bocha, say amen." This was a way. And one other example, you know, Rabbi Abramsky and the Beis Yisrael, you did him nemonim, very close. A friend of mine in London, Sam Kahn, Oliver Sholom, was visiting Rabbi Abramsky Motzoi Shabbos in Bayat Vegan, and the phone rang. Abramsky said, "Answer the phone, please." So he picked up the phone. It was the Beis Yisrael on the phone. Every Motzoi Shabbos, he phoned Rabbi Abramsky to wish him a good vach, and he phoned him because Abramsky was older. Once the Beis Yisrael came to visit Rabbi Abramsky when he was a chayla, when he was ill, and Rabbi Abramsky said, "Chob a shayla for the Rebbe." The shayla is, it says, "Lo yechtol evyo mekerev ores hakein ani." I think it's ani matzava eschem lema. Paseach tivtach es yodcha. What's the pshat lema? Ani mitzav eschem, paseach tivtach es yodcha. What's the lema got to do with it? So the Beis Yisrael said, "Can I tell the Rav a chassidish teretz or Bramke's, as long as it's good?" I say, it's from the Abdurov, it'll be good. Abdurov goes, "Doctor, so you give money to an oni, you think you're looking after him, they're good. But you've got to give him chizuk as well. You've got to say, Hezachain, today I'm giving you money. But Madari, you should know Einzach, that in the future, you'll be able to be the giver. You'll be in a situation to give. Anochi mitzav cholema to the oni, paseach tivtach es yodcha. You'll open your hand and give. You'll be the nosen. You won't be the makabala always. Give them chizuk." This is the vort of the Abdurov, and it's a moyedik atayich. Rabbi Abramsky was moyedus, it was a good teretz, even though it was a chassidish teretz. Right. Zoygate. There's also, you see among Gedolim a tremendous sensitivity to the needs of others, a tremendous sensitivity. Let me give you one illustration. You know, a little mice, it happened to Zoy. The Viskarov went out for a very early walk one morning. He used to go before Nates, and he met the Beis Yisrael also going for a walk. And they were good friends, very close. And the Beis Yisrael said, "Efshad Viskarov daf homna esrig." It was before Pershim Sukkah. He said, "Yeah. Shikis mit Chaim, send it with Chaim." Chaim was called Chaim de Rovs. He was a son of the Biskarov. He was a big Iloi, but he had his problems. He didn't live at home. He lived, the yeshiva, Svasemes, in Yerushalayim, gave him a room there, and he lived there. And he never was able to marry. He said, "Shikis mit Chaim, let Chaim bring the Esrog." When it came near Sukkos, then Beis Yisrael said to the Gaba that the Biskarov could bait and send it with Chaim. So please take this Esrog for the Biskarov and give it to Chaim. He couldn't find Chaim. He looked all over. Came back to the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael said, "Look, go along, keep the Esrog covered up, and asked the Biskarov, Chaim Dafka or Chaim Lav Dafka?" He went to the Biskarov, he said, "The Beis Yisrael got Fagan, the Biskarov, Chaim Dafka or Lav Dafka?" He said, "Chaim Dafka." And he understood, because the Beis Yisrael had told him, when the Biskarov says something, everything he says is Dafka. No loose ends with the Biskarov. So Biskarov saw the Gaba was a bit surprised. "Nafka mina, who brings the Esrog?" I'll tell you why. You know, I get a lot of Esrogim sent in, and Chaim comes home for Yom Tovim. And he goes through each one. He asks me, "Who sent this? Who sent this?" "I'll come to this one. Who sent this?" "The Beis Yisrael." He said, "What? Beis Yisrael sent it? He didn't send it with me? He doesn't trust me. He thinks I'm not reliable. He'll have Egmas Nefesh." So I said, "Send it with Chaim. Chas v'sholom, Ayid shouldn't have Egmas Nefesh." This is a sensitivity of Gedolim, apart from their gadlus. And this is just a psicha, one of the things I wanted to mention to you. And, you know, there's so many things to talk about. I want to talk a little bit in Chodesh Elul about the Koyach of Tefillah. The Koyach of Tefillah is Noav Oyum. Let me give you a few examples from the Gemara. There's an interesting psak towards the end of Bom Metzia. the Maaseh is given as though someone asked an oris, a percentage worker, to sow in barley in his field, and he'll get a shlish. The oris gets a shlish, and the balabais gets the rest. He sowed, instead of sowing, he sowed chitim, wheat. And there was a Makas Medina in that particular year, and all the crops, whether it's sowing or chitim, were destroyed. Now, the balabos said to the oris, look, you promised me that, I arranged with you to sow, and you sowed chitim. So he said, what's nafkamina? All the crops were destroyed. And no, he said, you're making a mistake. Had you done what I asked you, and had you done the sa'orin, I daven for sa'orin, then my tefillahs could have been answered. But since you did chitin, my tefillahs had nothing to be chalon. And that is actually paskin la'alocha. Even though there's a makas medina, but tefillah can change it. That's the kach of tefillah. Ad kadei kach, I think it's the Rabbeinu Bechai says that v'yeta yitzchok l'ashem l'anocha chishto ki akorahi a kodesh baruch is mis'ava l'tfilos and shel tzadikim. So he made her an akorah, effect of Rabbeinu Bechai. Why? He doesn't have to make her an akorah. Quite a number of ladies who don't become more berus. An akorah is someone who doesn't have a rechem, doesn't have the physical possibility of becoming more berus. He just could have made it that Rivka would not give birth. Why make her an akorah? Says Rabbeinu Bechai, to show you the koyach of tefillah. The koyach of tefillah can mashana zayin even the teva. It's got that koyach. There's a Gemara in Kedushin, I think it's in Chof Tes, where Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov was coming to learn in the Beis HaMedrash of Abaya. It was an Odom Godel, and there was a mazik in the Beis HaMedrash of Abaya, some I don't know how you want to call it, some demonic creature with seven heads, the Shteit and the Svarim, represented the seven times Yaakov Avinu bowed down, seven times Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esav, and that gave Korach to Sitra Acher. And this creature there had seven heads, and everyone was afraid to go near it, and it was a big sakona in the base of Medrash. So Rabbi said, nobody should give Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov a place to stay, and I have to go to the base of Medrash, and I have a davenon, and that will help us. And Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov went to the base of Medrash, and every time he bowed modim, one of the heads fell off, and in the end, the demon was destroyed. And he came out and said in the morning, he said, if I didn't have Siyata Dishmaya, I could have been in danger. Fekta Mashur, how is it possible that Abaya allowed him to go in? I mean, Abaya Chas V'Sholom, Ish Kodesh, how could he allow Rav Acha Bar Yaakov to go to a Mokum Sakona? He said, Abaya knew the Koach of Tefillah, and he knew the Koach of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And it was not a Sophic, it was a Vadai to Abaya that the Tefillah would be answered. And therefore he allowed Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov to go there. Tefillah is such a tremendous koyach. Just one other illustration. The Gemara says if you come to a place where Nisim occurred for Klal Yisrael, then you've got to make a bracha. For example, the Evan on which Moshe Rabbeinu sat in the time of Mechemes Amalek. And again, the Mephoshim asked, that's not where the Nais happened. The Nais happened on the battlefield. I said, no, you're making a mistake. The Nais happened when Moshe Rabbeinu had gadavant. The battlefield was the knock-on effect of the tefillah. But the ikur is the tefillah. Tefillah hot azah koyach. It could be mama shove avos of anything. But there's one condition in tefillah. And I'll be megala a sod to you. I think it may not be a sod, but it's a very important principle. It's from a Simcha Zissel. He said, the Gemara says, Shnaim Sha'ola Lagardum. You know what this Gardum is? It's not a very pleasant thing. The ancient Romans were not particularly civilized, although they built roads. They used to have this Gardum. It's a very high platform where they were done din in Ephoshos. And if the psak was against a person, they just pushed him off, and that was the end of that person. It was a pachat nova. He said, Shnayim Sha'olu L'Gardim. Two people go to the Gardim to be judged. One of them is saved and one of them is killed. What's an afgamina? One of them davened a tefillah shleima, the other didn't. What's the pshat? You know, in the next 15 minutes, your life is going to be decided. So which person is crazy? Is not going to daven a tefillah shleima? If not, then when? It doesn't make sense. said of Simchas Yisrael, of course they both davened with Omek Libon, but there was a difference. One of them expected or knew it was possible to be helped. The other, he davened, but he thought, it's Yush. I've got nothing to lose by davening, but I'm over the top already. That's enough, Gemina. It's not enough to daven. You've got to daven and have emunah shleim and the Rabbeinu Shlom can be mishana the teva. It's a tnai kod and a maisa. And then the tefillah has a tremendous power. Let me tell you a little story, if you'll allow me. A little maisa that happened in Kol Torah Yeshiva about what must have been 40 years ago, a long time ago. There was an American bocha there, a very erech bocha. He was learning in Kol Torah Yeshiva. And he went to the Kosel to daven. He's standing in the Kosel, and he sees he feels a very tall fellow next to him. He looks around, he sees a colored American goy, not a yid, a big American goy with some sort of yarmulke on his head. He's standing by the Kosel. He said to him, "You know, what brings you here?" He said, "You know, it's a good place to pray." That's what the American said, a good place to pray. Okay. So they both prayed in different types of prayer. Then this colored American got out a pad and wrote a kvittel, and he pushed it into the wall, into the kosel, and he went away. The American bocha couldn't resist it. He took the kvittel out and he read it. He was amazed. It says there's going to be a big baseball match in America, and he named the two teams, I don't remember what they were, and please, I appeal to the power above, make my team win. And secondly, he said, send me a divine messenger to tell me the results. It was before they had cell phones. I thought, Yenem Shugana, now, by chance, or it wasn't by chance, by Ashkocha, this American had told him, yeah, he's come here, he's staying in Jerusalem, a bit, he's staying in the Ramada Hotel. He even told him the room number. He didn't know why, but later on he found out. He thought, das heißt, I'm a Shugana. Right? I'll teach him not to be a na. He go to the Kosel and daven for baseball. das a goy. That's what he thought. He went back to the yeshiva and he phoned his father to America. Do me a favor, there's going to be a big baseball match between this team and that team. Soon as the result's out, phone me. The father was very upset. He said, I sent you to Yerushalayim to learn Torah, not to follow baseball. He said, no, don't worry, I'll explain to you one day. I'm not interested in baseball, but I need to know the result. A couple of days later, when the Seder was finished, he got a call from the office. He took the phone, his father told him the result, and Tucker, the Goy's team, had won, and he told him the score. Immediately he took a taxi to the Ramada. He went to the room, he knocked on the door, the goy opened the door, he said, I'm the divine messenger to tell you that your team has won and this is the score. The fellow nearly fainted, he danced for joy, he was tears in his eyes, that's our simcha. He said, come in, he took him into the room, and he said, what, a heavenly messenger, you deserve a reward. He gave him $300. So he went out, galacht, this Meshuggah Goy. $300 in those days was probably in modern, I don't know if you know, it's a Sephardic currency. It's probably equivalent to 5,000 shekel nowadays, a lot of money, close to £1,000 in those days. He went back, he told all his friends, tonight we're having a party, and the Goy's paying for it, and after the night Seder, everyone should come to my room, and Machsach Abyssal labeled it, the Americans know how to do it, and they bought their pizzas and their drinks, and maybe a bit of beer as well, and they were singing and eating. It was lots of royal gemach dorten. The Mashkiach happened to be walking around, it was in the evening, he heard singing and shouts from the room. He knocked on the door. The bocha who'd made the party opened the door. He chapped up shul ashrek. The mashgiach is there. Was anaya yontif? I don't know about. So he told him the whole story. He thought the mashgiach would have a laugh along with him. The mashgiach burst into tears. He said, "You're narunim. You missed the point. Don't you see what the point is? That goy believed in the koach of tefillah. He believed his davening helped. And you see, when you believe it, it happens. And you're laughing at him. He had the MS. You got the sheker. You should learn from this the koach of tefillah, even for goy. Alach has come of a kama, yid v'sissen lernt. That was the limit of that you had to take from it. It's not for nothing the goy gave him his phone, his address, and they told him where he was. And that is the koach of tefillah which we've got to be ma'amin in. It's a dover godel ma'oid. And this is our koach, which we have. And this is the boti knisyas and boti midrashim, which can be mahapech everything latoiv. I've just got to check my timing.
10:05.
Right, okay. But then a little bit more, we've got a little bit more time. A little bit, an eitzah for everybody, mamash for all of us. And that is to be ma'avir on one's midas. Because Gemara says, "Got a mava mido or midosov, mochlin lo kolavo nosov," and the Gemara tells a story. I think it's of Huna Bereda, Bereda of Yeshua. It's a Gemara of Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin. You could look it up. The Gemara says that he was not well, and a papa came to visit him. A papa Baruch HaKadosh. All the Tanoim and Amoraim mentioned in Shas could be Mechaya Mesim, said the Chofetz Chaim. And he came in and he saw how ill Huna was, and he said to the family, "Get his Tachuchin ready, he hasn't got much longer to go. It's the end of the road, as it were, for him." And he went away, and Huna recovered. The Papa was ashamed to go and meet him. Eventually they met up, and the Papa said, "What happened?" He said, "You're right. I was ready to go to Lashomayim. But then a malach came from the Shomei Shomayim and said, but Rav Huna Bereidu of Yeshua is Ma'avel Midosov." "Ah," said the Beis in Shomayla, "send him back. Kol Ma'avel Midosov Mochlin Lo Kol Avonosov." And he had the schus to be Ma'ach Yomim afterwards, in the schus of being Ma'avel Midosov. And, you know, I heard actually from Shimon Kaplan, it's in Manchester, it's Kedai to say, I've heard about the Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Ish Kodesh, who was Mahana, the whole of the Olam, but was based in Manchester, that there was a Maisa, there was Reuven and Shimon, two good friends, Mama Shedidim, Nemonim, both business people, they lived in Manchester, and Reuven had a daughter, just finished Sem. Oh, when a girl finishes Sem, you start looking for Shidduchim. Shimon phoned him up one day. He said, "I hear your daughter. I know your daughter has finished Sem. She's a lovely girl. I know a terrific bocha." And he described the bocha of Alam Midas, you know, the way a Shatchun describes it, right? One of the Lamed Vovniks. Okay, but I'll put a bocha anyway. And he said, "Thank you very much, Shimon, for thinking of me." That was it. About 5-6 weeks went by, and Reuven is on the phone to Shimon. He's very excited. "Shimon," he could hardly get the words out. He couldn't breathe. "Shimon," he said, "my daughter became a kala as his first child. And guess who the chosen is? The one you suggested. And tonight is the lechaim. It's only for family, but mamash, you're part of the family." Shimon was like a cold fish. "What? You did the shidduch? It's my shidduch. I was the one who should have spoken that shidduch. How could you not do it? I'm very angry with you. How could you take away that mitzvah? A maschil b'mitzvah om lo gemur." And he hung up the phone in anger. He didn't know what to do. In those days, when the Rosh Hashiva was there, you knew what to do. You went to the Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva heard Reuven's story. Rosh Hashiva, as you know, always acted immediately. When it was shaykh to do so, he did so. He acted immediately. He got on the phone, and he spoke to Shimon. He said, "Shimon, this is, you know how he used to call himself by his first name when he spoke on the phone as if he was a Ish Poshut." Shimon realized, "Rosh Hashiva, oh, a kovod, what can I do for you? Perhaps you need some help for one of your tzedakas." "No, no," he said, "I've got another problem. I hear that you're a bit angry with Reuven." "Oops." He's like lighting a match, whoops, and an explosion. "Yeah, there's my shidduch. He didn't let me do the shidduch." Shiva heard him, let him finish. He bewoked him, and he said, "You know, it's Chodesh Elul now. Maybe you ought to be mochel." Again he started. Rosh Yeshiva changed direction. He said, you know, they tell me you're a good businessman, is that true? He said, you could say so. So Rosh Yeshiva said, I'll offer you a deal. See if you can refuse this one. If you are Moichel Ruvain Belev Sholem, I give you a Haftocha, all your Averos will be forgiven this Yom Adin. You know, if anybody else would have said it, good, Guzma, but Rosh Yeshiva, every word was weighed. The fellow was stunned. About 15 seconds went by, he said, Rosh Yeshiva, I can't say no. I accept your offer. So he said, okay, I've got Ruvin on the phone here, tell him. Shimon said to Ruvin, I'm Moichel, you believe Sholem, and Mr. Shem, the Zirgul, Ola, Yofa, Zayna, of course, I'm coming to Lachaim. The guns are too hard. They hung up. Ruvin turns to the Rosh Yeshiva, I can't believe it, but how could you make such a promise? Rosh Yeshiva Galach, I couldn't make such a promise. Rova makes such a promise in the Gemara. Amarve al midosov, mochlin lo kolavo nosov. If Rova can do it, Rova can say it, it's emes. And that's the koach of being marve al midosov. Not to be makpid about other people, not to be makpid. There was one incident which I'll share with you. Two incidents and we'll stop there. I don't want to be ma'arich. One incident. It happened in Gateshead. I don't know if any of you remember the old binyan of the Kodel in Gateshead. It was very small. And Rabbi Dessler, this was before Tovshin Yud Dalad, when he was Nifta, obviously, when he was still, before he actually he went to Ponovich and Tovshin Ches. He used to, well, it could have been a time when he came back for a visit, but that sort of tekufa. He used to give a shiur every Shabbos in the Beis HaMedrash of the Kodel. Everybody came, including the Rosh Yeshiva and all the Lomdim in Gateshead, to hear Rabbi Dessler on a Shabbos afternoon. And the room was so packed that mamash were like sardines there, squashed. And a younger man came in late. And it was a starker younger man, but it was a little bit sort of indiscreet. He wanted to go in, he wanted to hear the shiur, and he started to push the door. He couldn't move it, it was jammed. He pushed very hard. The chairs began to move like a ripple effect. The whole room descended into disorder. The Rabbi Dessler had been speaking, you could have heard a pin drop. And suddenly disorder in the whole room. And it took about 5 minutes till the room settled down again. Rabbi Dessler was standing there muttering something. A friend of mine, actually his name was Joe Munk, Oliver Sholom from London, was close. He wanted to hear what Rabbi Dessler was saying. He moved close. Hakpoda is a schlechter midder. Hakpoda is a schlechter midder. Again and again he's repeating himself. Hakpoda is a schlechter midder. When he heard that, he was amazed. That's what Godel in Musa is thinking about, Vashas Maisa. He could easily be makpid. He's in the middle of a shiur, and this younger man comes in like a bull in a china shop. Gornisht, Hakpoda is a schlechter midder. Be marvi on your midders. Mochlin lo kolavo nosov. Let me finish with a small incident, but it's big. It's big. It's very big, this small incident. It's really, it takes in the whole world. There was a lady who was Nifta in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. She was 100 years of old age. She went through a very difficult life. She was a Holocaust survivor. She went through Zayin Madui Gehenim at that time. And all her life she had difficulties. And she said one incident in her life kept her going. One incident. She was about 9 years of age. And she was waiting outside the Beis HaMedrash for her father to come out. She wanted to go home with her father. A man came out wearing a shtreimel, walking away, and she called out to him, Tati, Tati, ich will gehen heim mit dir. I want to go home with you. He turned around. It wasn't her father. It was a Meir Shapiro, the Lublin Rov. He heard what the little girl had said. He said, mein Kind, darf allemal gehen mit der Tata. Allemal, you go with Avinu Shebashmaim. And that's the limit of Chodesh El. But I've gained with a Tata, but I've Davenan, and with I've Gleben, that what the Rabboni Shalom wants to do, he will do. But if you Daven and believe in it, you'll be Zocha to Mamash Agut Geben Shor Aksiva V'chasim Atoiv. Amen.